Now, it's kind of ironic to me that Lance was teaching in Sunday school this morning about selfishness, and when Timothy asked if I would give the message for this Sunday, there was a part of me that wanted somebody else to give it because I had a lot on my plate and I wanted to spend time with my family and just all these things that I wanted. So and yet I knew that Lance was going to be teaching Sunday school on selfishness as I was debating my answer. And so I said to Timothy, I'm willing to do it if you're willing to pray for me every day between now and then. So, and I knew Timothy would be faithful to pray for me. So I am excited about the message, by the way. It's not a chore to me. It has been a tremendous blessing to me to be meditating myself on the scriptures that I'm going to share with you. But before we get started, let me just pray again. Heavenly Father, I just pray that this message will challenge and strengthen and encourage your people. And for those that do not believe, I pray that you would help them to see the beauty of the gospel. So I pray that you just help me now to deliver your word with the help of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Okay, so as I mentioned, you know, Lance has been encouraging us in Sunday school week after week to be examining ourselves. You know, not looking at everyone else, but examining ourselves and considering the issues that we have and working on them that we might live a more godly life and therefore glorify God better than we do today. The message today is a strange message. It's a strange message because it has two totally different aspects to it. And I didn't want us to go away thinking about how weak we are. And yet I want us to think about how weak we are. And that's why there's two aspects to this message today. So my first prayer is that we would, first of all, more clearly see our weakness. We all know that we're weak. If you're a child of God, you know that you're weak. But you just don't know how weak you really are. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. And this is really, I think, the starting point. So Proverbs 24, verse 10 says, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." Let me just read that again. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You know, you could almost paraphrase it as just saying, your strength is small. I mean, if you really look at how you do on your days of adversity, your strength is small. But this verse is also a reminder, and a good reminder to us, that your true character is revealed in times of trial. Yeah, that's when your character is revealed. So, for example, your patience is only being tested in your handout when you're delayed, or when you're confused, or when you're experiencing hardship or trouble. It's in those moments that we need to examine ourselves and see and ask this question: Are we calmly tolerating the delay? Are we calmly tolerating the confusion? Are we calmly tolerating the hardship or the trouble or whatever it is that we happen to be experiencing? That's the true measure of where we really are. You know, as I've been preparing this message, I've been asking God to help me when difficulties come my way, to bring this message to my mind, so that I might not falter so easily. And it has helped. It has helped me, even just being mindful of this more this past week. I've actually done better. And I praise God for that. I Haven't done perfectly, but better. Yeah. So I've also been asking God to help me to evaluate myself in light of these scriptures after, like right after I've experienced a difficulty of some kind, so that I wouldn't just forget and put it away. And it's been really good for me to see how desperately I need God's help. And it's also been good for me to see how far I am from the perfection that God desires. You know, we don't have to look very hard in the Psalms to see David's beautiful example of one who constantly acknowledges his weakness and cries out to God for deliverance. The end of Psalm 119 is a beautiful illustration of a godly plea. So if you have your Bible with you, turn to Psalm 119 to the very end of it, verse 169. Psalm 119, verse 169 says, "Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My tongue will sing in your handout of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your righteous rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." Psalm 34 is another good example of our weakness and God's power and goodness. And I'm only going to read a couple little excerpts out of it for now. We'll come back to it later. But Psalm 34, verse 5, since you're in the Psalms there, if you want to turn. Psalm 34, 5 says, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." And if you'll skip just a few verses down to like verse 15, I'm going to read a couple more verses to us out of this psalm. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the face of the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Okay, so I'm going to go back to Proverbs 24:10 now and just read it to us. Proverbs 24:10, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." Part of what this passage is trying to help us realize is that our strength is much smaller than in your handout than we think. And the point of this verse is to show us how weak we really are, so that we might be crying out to God all the time. You know, the following verses here in Jeremiah, I think, are going to really help us to some degree to see our own blindness. Even as I say these things, we're still blind. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1 says this. And by the way, Jeremiah was upset because of the injustice around him. And there was injustice around him. I mean, you know, he had, in a sense, a legitimate beef. But on the other side of the coin, he didn't handle that injustice in the right way. And I think sometimes maybe we're guilty of that too. So I want to read Jeremiah's complaint to you. He says, "Righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you. Yet I would plead my case before you. Why does the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? You plant them and they take root. They grow and produce fruit. You are near in their mouth and far from their heart. But you, O Lord, know me. You see me and test my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the grass of every field wither?" In other words, what are you waiting for? "For the evil of those who dwell in it, the beasts and the birds are swept away because they say, quote, 'He will not see our latter end.'" But what was God's answer to Jeremiah? You know, God's answer is right here for us in verse 5. It says, "If you have raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan?" In other words, Jeremiah, in your handout, Jeremiah, you are not yet ready for the bigger challenges that still lie ahead. You see the problems of those around you clearly, but you don't see your own shortcomings. So stop complaining. I have a plan, and my plan will prevail. So instead of complaining, cry out. Cry out to me, because I will bring justice to pass. That's who I am. If we were to continue reading in Jeremiah chapter 12, we would see that God will, in fact, bring about justice. He will. You know, as I was thinking about all this, and I was reading Psalm 37 one day, and I thought to myself, boy, Psalm 37 would have been a great passage for Jeremiah to have in his mind. And Psalm 37 is a great passage for us to have in our minds. So turn with me to Psalm 37. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Psalm 37, 1 through 7 says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices." You know, we just need the reminder that God is in charge and that He's way more righteous than we could ever be, and that He will bring justice to pass, and we need to be able to rest in that. Yeah, I've been focusing on another passage, though, and this is kind of the good part of the message to me. You know, who wants to be told that you're weak? You know, none of us want to be weak. But the reality is that we are, and that we need to cry out. But this now kind of turns a corner here, and because, you know, It's not enough in your handout. I didn't really say all the right words here, but your next blanks are, it's not enough to acknowledge our weakness. The point of seeing our weakness was to cry out. And the point of crying out is to call on a God who is able to deliver. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, because 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 is really the key to overcoming my weakness, and it's the key for you to overcome your weakness. And it's also just a beautiful passage. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." What beautiful, beautiful words. Words that comfort us, words that strengthen us, and words that lift our spirits and give us hope. Let me just read them again. "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." You know, this is a good reminder to us that in your handout that all the trials, all the sufferings, all the sorrows are worth it. They're worth it. I think of how the Lord Jesus Christ himself was strengthened by the hope that was set before him. You know, I love these verses in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to read Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Now, you know, this is really beautiful, and it's not new, but Jesus endured the cross for the hope that was set before him. That's what enabled and strengthened him to do it. And you know, he didn't just endure the cross. Jesus chose the cross for the joy that was set before him. Yeah. And if we can grasp that, then we will be enabled to worship Jesus for who he really was and for who he really is. And we will also be strengthened in our own inner being to overcome our own weaknesses in whatever challenges you may face. You know, whether it's a hand that hurts, I can empathize with Heidi. My hand hurt for a long time. Or whether it's a baby that keeps you up all night and you're holding in your arms right now. Or whether it's someone that you just long for in your soul. Lance's brother Chip, my son Randy, my dad. I mean, we could go on and on. Do me a favor and turn with me. If you haven't turned with me yet in your Bible, turn with me now to Psalm 34. Turn with me to Psalm 34 and let's read together. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He keeps all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Do you see the goodness of the Lord in Psalm 34? I guess there was a time when I didn't. Hard to believe. But it just overflows in that psalm. The goodness of God just overflows in that psalm. You know, if I had to try and summarize the message for today, which I think is good because we need to get our minds around it. So I'm going to do my best to try and summarize what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is this, is that if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. What I'm really trying to say is your strength is small. Secondly, God is to be feared and worshiped. He will bring justice to pass, and if that doesn't make you tremble, I'm not sure what will. Thirdly, we need to cry out to God for deliverance all the time. And finally, God is good, and he will deliver his children. As it says in 1 Peter 5:10, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that we would all see your goodness, your righteousness, your justice, and that we would all tremble before you. And yet at the same time, as we tremble, know that as a father loves a son, you love your children. In Jesus' name.